welcome to Tea and Strumpets, a Regency Romance Review. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Kelsey.
And today we're doing something a little bit different. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes, we will absolutely see how it goes. And yeah, so what are we doing today, Zoe?
So we love talking about books and we love reading, but unfortunately, we can't talk about everything that we read. So, especially with our kind of bi-weekly format, we're talking about less books now, and we wanted to talk about more books. So we thought, why not have an episode where we talk about all the books we've been reading kind of like so far this year?
Yes.
We're halfway through the year.
Okay. So Zoe, I remember last year at one point you were like, oh, I set myself a goal of reading 50 books. Mm-hmm. Like, was that for the whole year or?
That was for the whole year, yes.
Okay. And you're like, Kelsey, you've probably reached that already. So then this year I decided to track my books. Mm-hmm. And as of today, because I read one last night and I stayed up way too late reading it, I have now read 34 books this year.
Good job. Go, Kelsey.
And I felt really good because in January, I read all of like 4 and I had a really busy February. And then I think in March, I read like 2.
Yep.
And then April, I went on vacation. So I got really into reading. Mm-hmm. And I've just been like on a steady roll since then.
And I also have finally picked up the pace on my reading. I have not read 34 books this year, but I have a 7-month-old. And I'm very proud that I've read like a bunch. I had one book that came out in November. I'll talk a little bit about that I really wanted to read. And I finally got to read it. And that kind of set me off on a reading kick, which was like, mm-hmm. woohoo, here I go.
It takes one to get you back sometimes. Like, that's what happened to me is I think a new one dropped onto my Kindle that I had pre-ordered, and I was really interested in that. And then I read it, and I was like, and now I'm going to read all the things else.
Yeah. And I personally really like stats and recording things and spreadsheets. Like, that's just kind of my personality. So I find mm-hmm. entering all my books on Goodreads is like really fun for me. So that's something that like I discovered last year. I know probably a lot of you listeners are like, what are you talking about? I read 350 books a year and I record them all on Goodreads. And I've been doing it since 2001. And you know what I have to say to you? Awesome. You're amazing. Awesome. And I love it.
I think it took me until a few years ago to really even understand what Goodreads was. Like when you first got mm-hmm. your Kindle, it like automatically signed you up for Goodreads. And I was like, okay, whatever. Oh. So I signed up. I have some friends, like people added me as friends. And I was like, cool, but what do I do on this? And then I never touched it again. And then you invited me to be your friends on Goodreads the other day. So I clicked on it. And it was like, you have to look, like, and I looked at your thing. I was like, wow, look at Zoe. She's doing all the things. And then I was like, this seems interesting. I want to do all the things. And it was like, you need to log in. And I was like, well, fuck it. Not going to do it now.
Oh, no.
I was at work, though, was the problem. And I was like, don't got time for this, actually. But I have been trying to record myself reading this year. Ooh. And I have, here, Zoe, I'll show you. This is what I'm recording my reading on. Aww. I literally have a notebook. And what's sad about this notebook is it's very cute and I really like it, but it has no lines. So it's just my awful handwriting, like all over the place with the titles and the authors. And I have 2.25 pages full.
Well, that's also amazing. Did I just see a Julie Garwood work? Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
Oh, yes. I just read it last night.
Okay, well, see, listeners, this is going to be so great. This is going to be a gushing episode, so get ready. But I thought we should talk about the books that we've been reading, kind of the highlights, maybe the lowlights. And at the end of this, I think we should each challenge the other. We should pick one book that the other person should read, and we'll come back around in a few episodes when we've both read that book and talk about
it. I think that sounds like a great plan, although I feel like you're going to have read all the books that I read this year, but we can see.
You know, maybe not. We'll see. All right. So let's start towards our Januaries, right? I, okay, let me count for a second because I started reading again in January and woof, before that, the last book I had read was September, but I had a kid in October. So, oh no, I read it in October. Just kidding. I had a kid a few days after I read that book. And yeah, so I've read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 books since the
Good
beginning
job,
of the year.
Zoe.
So I'm proud of myself for that because, like I said, it had been since September or October. October since I had read anything. So in January, what did I read? I started off with Between the Devil and Ian Eversea. We don't need to talk about that one again. What was the first book at the beginning of the year?
I read My Kind of Earl by Vivian Lauret. And then I read a couple, and then I read a Loretta Chase.
Ooh.
And then you know what started me out? I read 10 Things I Hate About the Duke by Loretta Chase. I think that was a new one.
Mm-hmm. I think That's it why is I read too. It.
Yes. And then The Duke Heist, which we read, we were kind enough to get ARC for the podcast, was The Duke Heist by Erica Ridley. And I think that book really like started me off because I loved it so much.
I did too.
And that really sparked my, and that was like right at the end of January. And then my February was wild.
Well, I completely agree about The Duke Heist because it also kind of sparked me. And I will say that one is not the steamiest book, and it's a little bit more like the shenanigans are the main part of it, and it's really fun. But that worked really well for me in the place that I was at, like postpartum and breastfeeding.
Well, and that's what I wanted. I wanted something fun. Like, mm-hmm. That's really what got me back into it because, like, I can read serious ones, but it was like the spark of the fun and the shenanigans and the great characters because they were, and there were so many of all the characters were fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I need to read more.
I can't agree more. And after I read that one, I was like, I really need something that I'm going to love for sure to keep me on mm-hmm. this kick. So I just did a quick reread of Devil in Winter and then asked us to do it on the podcast.
Which is fine because I also thoroughly enjoyed it. So my February was February of Carrigan mm-hmm. Byrne. And I read The Highwayman, The Hunter, The Highlander, The Duke, The Scot Beds His Wife, The Duke with the Dragon Tattoo. And then I started with the Good Girls series, which Seducing the Stranger, Courting Trouble, and Dancing with Danger. And then I recently, as in 2 days ago, finished the fourth one that just came out.
Okay. So, okay. Wait, we just time out because we have to talk about the fourth one. Okay. Important. So I was like, I really need to read some Carrigan Byrne because I love her and haven't read it in a long time. And I was like, okay, so she has this new series, the Good Girls series. I can't wait to read it. So I do everything I can. My Nook is so old, right? And I'm like typing in this like little ink Nook, like, and it takes like 3 seconds for every type press to like register. I mean, my thing is so ancient. And I like swear that I spell the title, I spell her name, forwards, backwards, everything's right, and none of them show up. And I was like, but I want to read about Morley. Like, I've been waiting to read about Morley. Why can't I read about Morley? Anyhow, then I learn that it's on Kindle Unlimited. And that means that if it's on Kindle Unlimited, it's not on a Nook. And this is absolutely not a dig on authors. I think that whatever an author needs to choose to do for their livelihood is what they should do. But I was very disappointed because I couldn't read the book that I wanted to read. And I know I could have bought a physical copy, but there were just complications with that. Also, I wanted Carrigan Byrne and I wanted it now. So, I was disappointed about that. But then I was like, for whatever reason, Tempting Fate, the fourth one in that series, was coming out like that day, and it was available on Nook. The first three were not, but the fourth one was, and I was like, I'm buying it. I read it. It was glorious.
Oh, wait until you read the others. I will say, I think Courting Trouble was one of my favorite ones. There was a bit more angsty in that one, but all the Good Girls are amazing. And they're all so fabulous. And they all have such strong personalities, but they're so closest sisters. And their sister bond is just so fierce. And I love it. But Tempting Fate, Felicity, and Gabrielle, and I just, like, you knew something had happened before because, like, you could kind of tell in his, in her twin's book as well as his brother's book, which is the one before that, that there was, like, you know, he had a feeling for her, but he was, like, you know, it was a very much a Beauty and the Beast situation,
yes, you know.
Like, literally his face was behind a mask because it was destroyed.
I was so, so spirited away by this book. Like, it was, I love Beauty and the Beast. I love that trope. And Kerrigan Byrne does this kind of, like, dark and light and angst and fire thing just so well. It, chef's kiss. It was so delicious.
And it's great. And if anyone has any interest after hearing us talk about these good girls books, I will say they're not terribly long.
Yes.
Which is really great. Like, I read Tempting Fate in an evening, you know, and I was like, I got to the end and I was like, but why is that the end?
I felt the same way about it. I also read it really fast. But that was kind of exciting because a lot of Kerrigan's books, especially like The Highwayman, The Hunter,
those are all very long.
They're quite long and they're really, really richly written. Well as Tempting Fate, don't get me wrong, the Good Girl series, and I should mention it's G-O-O-D-E. It's their last name. Their last name is Good. So that series is just like a little bit shorter and it's still beautifully written, but it is a little bit easier, faster to read than some of her other books.
Yeah, but still has her same really good character depth, really strong, fiery women who challenge their counterparts and make a good a pairing of it. And even though they're shorter, I still felt we got all the adventure we needed in a typical Kerrigan Byrne fashion.
Speaking of Kerrigan Byrne, I went on a bit of a Kerrigan – well, I went on a bit of a binge of my own that included Kerrigan Byrne, but it was apparently books with devil in the title because I read three of them in a row.
Okay.
So after I read Devil in Winter, I read The Devil in Her Bed shortly after by Kerrigan Byrne. That is the third book in the Devil You Know series.
I read that one too. That one was my first one in March, actually. Yeah. Oh, look. No, not the first one in March, but the second one in March, because it just came out.
I was a little later than that, but I got it done in April and also, like, very much gave that one 5 stars, enjoyed it immensely. And then my favorite devil book was The Devil Comes Courting by Courtney Milan, and I read that.
Oh, that was so good.
It was incredible.
So very interestingly enough, as I have mentioned, I went to Hawaii for a wedding and the bride, I've talked to her about the shows and she kind of is into romance novels, but she's never really read a lot of historicals. Mm-hmm. And so she actually texted me because she read The Duke Who Didn't on her way back from Hawaii from the wedding. And she is, she's of Japanese heritage. And so for her, she was like, oh my God, I just finished this. It was so great. I've never even seen like Asian characters as the main characters. This was so fabulous.
Yay.
Do you have any recommendations of what I could read next? And I was like, actually, she literally just had a book come out that I think you're going to love. Same author. She's fabulous. And it's a book in the series. I was like, you don't even have to read the first two in that series. Like, it can stand alone and it's so good. And you're going to love it. If you love The Duke Who Didn't, you're going to love this one.
Yes. I want to talk a minute about The Devil Comes Courting. So this is number 3 in the Worth Saga by Courtney Milan. And as readers of Courtney Milan know, she has a lot of diversity in her books. That's important to her. If you know her as a personality on the internet, she is an advocate for diversity and for inclusion and for a lot of other really important, wonderful things. And she's extremely smart and well-spoken. So I really recommend you follow her. Anyhow, the point, though, being is this book. So this book is number 3 in the Worth Saga. And she actually has said that she structured the whole Worth Saga around this book. The idea was that this book was kind of the anchor. And it is her longest book ever written. And it is also one that took maybe the longest time, but because it I think, had a lot on her soul for this book. And this book is about a Chinese girl in China who was adopted by British missionaries. And this is something that happened frequently. And she talks about this more articulately than I probably will recite it after reading it one time. But she says this in her author's note that this was a big source of contention between the British and the Chinese, you know, that actually the missionaries, quote unquote, adopting their children. I'm not going to say much more because I think Courtney Milan does a really beautiful job of laying out the situation. And like she does for so many things, she's such a brilliant writer because she writes beautifully, but she also understands that her reader is smart enough to come to their own conclusions. So she lays out a lot of pieces of the puzzle and you put them together. She doesn't tell you how to feel. She makes you feel things, which makes you come to conclusions. Mm-hmm. She's a brilliant writer. And I really, really loved this book. There's telegraphs. There's dinosaurs. Oh, my God. If you've read this book, I'm just going to say the letters.
Yes. The letters are so fantastic. And I mean, I had moments of laugh out loud reading the book. I had moments of tears. It took me through a whole range of emotion and I loved every moment of it. And I also really loved, because I have mentioned here that I read a short stories of hers that I loved, which was in the Hamilton's Battalion anthology. Mm-hmm. And it was The Pursuit Of, and it was a male-male romance, an interracial romance. And it's great because in the book, the hero is the great whatever nephew of these guys.
Yeah. And I think it's just great. Like, I think it's one great the grand nephew. It's not that far removed.
Yeah. Well, because he knows them. He personally knows them, and he is building upon what they actually created. And so his family has built upon that. And so when she's looking for that kind of inclusive nature, he's like, well, let me tell you, I can tell you about my great uncle John or my great uncle Henry, you know? Mm-hmm. And even in the second book, because after reading The Devil Comes Courting, I went back and I reread the first and second in the Worth saga because I was just in love with it all and I needed to know more, especially because this hero's brother is the hero in the second book. Anyway, I just really was enthralled with all of it and I just loved just that little book. And it's so funny to think that a little anthology I read over on the side actually played a part in this series that I just loved so much. And I just, again, I think it just really speaks to the diversity that Courtney's just looking to normalize. And it's talked about in a very normal way.
Absolutely. And I think it was so amazing. And I was just so surprised that the hero was Black. There was no mention of it in the blurb. There was no, you know, picture of him on the cover. You have a Chinese heroine and a Black hero, and it's extremely unassuming and it's just very normal, like very normal. When it's something, when in our lives today, it is normal and it should continue to be normal. I know people still experience racism in interracial relationships, but it's definitely not something that's normal in historical romance. And it was wonderful the way that she just put it on the page and it was just there.
Yeah. And it's not that she ignores the racial in historical context in any way, shape, or form. She does bring it up and it strikes a chord because for me, you know, it brought about that anger that it should be. And especially with all the things going on in the world, it's like, ugh, this brilliant, amazing, wonderful human had to suffer these indignities. And people like him are still suffering indignities to this day. And but again, it's subtle. She doesn't tell you how to feel, but that was how I took it reading it. I just was like, ugh.
The parallels to today are uncanny and also just bone chilling. Like,
yeah,
she just does such an amazing job. I don't know what to say except read this book. Like, just read this book. Yeah. Love this book. Yeah, it's so good. Okay. But we should move on. I'm sure we'll talk more about this one at the end. But We also had another thing happen the same, which is that we went on with a series when it had to do with Sarah McLean. And we read A Rogue by Any Other Name. And then both of us were like, well, I want to read 2 and 3 as well.
I did 1, 2, 3, and 4. And it turned out I had actually never read 3 and 4. I had 1 and 2 already. And then it turned out, I don't know when it came out. I think I read the blurb and I just was like, sometimes, you know, when you're in a series and like, do you ever read it and you assume that two characters are going to get together and then It's the third book is the one character you figured and then the other one he ends up with isn't who you were expecting. And part of you just is kind of like, I'm not ready for that. And it's not because you dislike the author. It's just because you had it in your head and you've been living in this world and then you get a curveball like that. And I think I just read it and I just kind of wasn't as into the story even. And I think it was
also— Which book are you talking about?
The third one. So No Good Duke Goes Unpunished. No. I don't know why I didn't read it. Like, I don't know why I didn't read it because it
okay,
was
okay, wait, I'm confused
so
what you're
fabulous.
Saying. Let's back up for a second.
Okay.
You didn't like 3? Or you
no.
Did...
I did like 3, but what happened was when 3 came out, loved 1 and 2. When 3 kind of took a different turn, in the
who
blurb,
did you think he was going to end up with?
I don't know. I don't know, Zoe. I don't know what I was thinking. It was just like It was just me being silly, and I guess I just read the blurb, and it just didn't speak to me at the time. Mm-hmm. So I just was like, I'll read it later. And I guess never did. And then when Never Judge a Lady by Her Cover came out, I hadn't read 3. So I definitely wasn't going to read 4, obviously, because I'm a weirdo. And that's just what happens, Zoe. It's just what happens. Anyway, I have now read the whole series and No Good Duke Goes Unpunished. Ugh. Just, ugh. I will say, though, as much as I love Chase and what Chase did for Never Judge a Lady by Her Cover, not my favorite.
So I want to go back for just a second. I loved No Good Duke Goes Unpunished. And I think it's interesting because actually I don't know, but of the first 3, that has the lowest average rating on Goodreads. But like I gave number 1 a 3-star, I gave 2 a 4-star, and I gave 3 a 5-star. I think Vanessa Zoltan said this, kind of articulated this when she was on the podcast with us, where she said, you know, sometimes you read something and you just love it. And then somebody else says, well, why didn't you read it this way? Or like, how come you didn't dislike this about this character? And I've read some reviews where I'm like, okay, I see how people can see this about that character, but I don't give a damn. I love it. I love how steamy they are. I love how just like everything just pushes my buttons. I'm really glad we didn't do it for the podcast because I would have had to think about it differently.
Yeah.
It's just like it's such a impossible scenario.
Yes.
And I love everything about it.
Oh, no, I do too. And that's the thing is it's just like it comes around and I just was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Like, the whole thing and the whole way it works out. It's just like a true comedy of errors and how it all shaped up and truly, truly ruined this man's life. And yet.
So we've gushed about this book and I'll give a tiny bit of a synopsis for it. Because basically, so in this one, we have the kind of bruiser of the fallen angel whose name all of a sudden has escaped, Temple, who's named Temple. And he's the one who just basically uses his fists to solve the problems. And we find out that he's actually a disgraced duke. How wonderful. Because it is rumored that he murdered his father's bride. And lo and behold, she turns up. And all I'll say is she's the heroine and he's the hero. And some sparks fly and some fists fly. And yeah, it is it's a fun read.
It is a super fun read.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. And it's so funny how it all works out. And like there's some major drama. Like it takes you for some turns. It's wild.
It is wild. Now, I will also go on to say that 4, there's a big reveal in 4, which, you know, I'm trying not to say anything about. So the point is that I did not see that coming even a little bit when those books were coming out. Like when that book came out, I was so surprised. I think you get it in the epilogue. You get the reveal. You get the reveal in the epilogue of No Good Duke Goes Unpunished.
Yeah.
And I did not suspect it for even a half second.
Oh, no, I did not either. That was a very much a surprise. And I was very much looking forward to reading about number four because of that surprise. And I just found it was good. But I think after number three, it was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah, I didn't reread it in my reread of the series because I remember being so disappointed by it
It was just disappointing. And it was, I don't really know how to say it because it's not that, I mean, there's some wildness that happened. It all ends up happy, but I don't know. I think that there just was, I felt that there was a depth that you didn't get to in that main character. Because of the foursome, I felt like in one, two, and three, you really understood both the hero and the heroine. You know, and despite the fact that in number one, we talked about Bourne and he's a jerk, but it still felt like you kind of got a little bit more of an understanding of who he was versus our main characters in number four. Like the plot was, I think the plot overpowered the characters to me.
Interesting. Well, Sarah McLean is so good with the intrigue and the plots and the these things you don't see coming. I imagine that, you know, there's got to be at least one out there that kind of gets away from her with all of the amazing stuff she does.
Yeah, and I liked the plot, but I just really didn't feel like I really understood the characters. And so, like, when there was a bit of wishy-washiness or this, I won't tell them this, you know, misunderstanding, will they, won't they kind of thing, it just is very, you don't really feel the forgiveness of those moments because, like, I don't feel like I really understand the motivation behind it.
Totally fair.
Yes.
Well, next, I have a wild card because I'm sure you didn't read this. And this isn't going to be the one that I recommend you read. I think I have one that you haven't read, and I'm going to recommend that one because I only have one more, which is my Hail Mary. but my wild card here is that I was, you know, we've been talking about what series we're going to read next. And so in doing that, I was like, what series do I have on my Kindle that has more than six books? So I just typed in the number six. And then I was like, well, what has more than seven books? And I found one or two. And then I said, well, what has more than eight? And okay, I found, I think, two, Penny Royal and this and one other, or two others. And then I was like, how many? Nine? 10, 11, and then I found this other series that has, I think, 11 or 14 books. And it turns out I've read 11 of them. And I was like, okay, well, was it as good as I thought? So I went back and read the first one. It's not the series that I'm going to be bringing to our conversation about the series, but I want to mention it here. And it is the Untouchables series by Darcy Burke. And the first one is called The Forbidden Duke. And they're a bit shorter, and they're really simple reads. I can see why I continued on reading.
Yeah.
Is it brilliantly written or really wonderful? No. I give it a 3-star, but it's really, really readable. Like, it's super readable. And there's some moments where it's like a little juvenile kind of. But again, this is number one in her series. It might have gotten even better as I went along. There's kind of some juvenile dialogue, I will say. Like, the dialogue is a little eh. But in general, the writing is good enough. You know me, I can get like real grouchy about writing if it's not like quite
up to par.
Highbrow enough. Yeah. Up to par is a good way to say it. So I totally I still want to mention that. To our listeners, if you're looking for something that you're like, I have not a lot of brain power, I want a kind of shorter 100 and something page story, I want a, you know, series that I can read a ton of and just eat up, I will recommend The Untouchables by Darcy Burke.
Excellent. I definitely have not read this. So
yeah, it's crazy how much stuff I have on my Kindle or my Nook. One day I'll go through it all and add it to Goodreads and actually remember what I've read.
No, that's fair. I think it's interesting you say that because I definitely recently the Kindle said you could group books by the series they're in. Mm-hmm. And it like automatically did that, which is great because then when I'm in the library, I can actually see all the books that I have in the series. Downside is when I go into my library, it used to be in order of what I had most recently read. And now it groups them all into series. And since I mainly read series, it's like, I don't know which book in the series I read. It just shows me the series and I'm like, oh, okay. So that was a little bit of a getting into too, but that's okay. I recently read, and this is not an author you typically read, but I really enjoyed them, which is the Susan Enoch. I read Hit Me With Your Best Scott. She has the best Scott puns. Damn it.
I have no books you haven't read.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And then I read Scott Under the Covers.
Yes. Hit Me With Your Best Scott. Let's talk about it because, oh my gosh.
I know.
Steamy,
I know.
Steamy.
Steamy, steamy, steamy. Steamy. And then Scott Under the Covers, equally so. Oh. And it's so funny because I read the first one, like when it first came out. And then for some reason, I didn't read Hit Me With Your Best Scott. And then I saw that Scott Under the Covers was out, or it was recommending it to me. And I was like, wait, this is number three? Wait, I remember these brothers. I remember this whole marriage situation. What am I doing? And then I was like, oh, you just missed when number two came out. So backtrack, then go forward.
Yeah, I didn't read number two, but I just couldn't help myself. That title and the cover, I was like, Hit Me With Your Best Scott, Susan Enoch. And we did read the one, Suzanne Enoch.
Yeah.
And we did read the one on the podcast, which I really didn't like. And you also struggled with it.
Yeah, I didn't like it as much as I had read it. And I had picked it because it was like a first in a series. And I was, you know, and it was one of her it was definitely one of her more first books. And I was like, well, this is a bummer. Like, I'm trying to get Zoe into this author and she doesn't like the book. But I knew I really loved the author. So now, Zoe, I feel like I've been redeemed. And now you really know how good this author is.
Yes. I actually wrote a review on Goodreads about this book because I loved it. I saw some people also reviewing the book and saying that they did not like the main character. And I'm just like, I wonder if I had read the first two books, if I would have had preconceived notions about him.
Yeah.
But I really liked him in this book. Mm-hmm. And she did the thing where, you know, these guys are very Scottish and they, you know, quote unquote, speak on the, you know, they're written with like a Scottish accent. And normally I get over that. Like, it just seems gimmicky. But no. That is how Cole spoke. That was him. It was sexy. I was into it.
Yes. No, it was. And so anyway, so do you remember the name of this series? What's it called? I just know it has the best.
The Wild Wicked Highlanders.
Yes. And so the idea is that these is a series of brothers, and they have lived in the Highlands with their father, and they know that they're mom is English and she brought all the money into the family. And so what they didn't know, though, was she made a deal to live in London with their father that basically said that all the boys had to marry English brides or she was going to stop funding the estate. Mm-hmm. And they're super resentful. And she has their younger sister. And so the deal is they have to be married to English brides before their sister gets married. And then they find out she writes to say, hey, the daughter's getting engaged. And so they need to hurry up or you're going to lose all your funding. And they didn't know about this deal that the father had brokered with the wife. So they get packed down and they're so resentful of this woman because they don't like they just know she left. She left when they were really young. And of course, like the dads never told them the whole story or her, you know, and they don't know her side of it. And they're like these true Highland lairds, you know, super hate all things English. And it's just like they try to overrun the household and scare her. And she's just like, yo, I'm working on it, but God, I love these boys. Like, I'm going to make them love me, damn it. And it's just really funny because all of them are like, we're not going to end up married to these English prissy girls. And they find just the best ladies to marry. And they're so fun. And Cole is the oldest and like the most grrr about all of it. And he gets set on his ass like, you know, they all do.
Yes. And this book was really fun. I read this one cover to cover in a day. Like, and I have a baby. Like, I just every moment that I was not actively taking care of her, I was pulling the book back open. It was, to me, just an absolute page turner. It was so fun. The characters flew off the pages. I loved them. I loved Persephone. And I got a good laugh with the introduction of Hades. And, you know, if you read the book, you'll get it too. And I didn't see it coming. And sorry if I spoiled that a little bit, but like, anyhow, it's just great.
It is just great. And there's like a twist in there you didn't see coming to make it all work out in the end. And it was, it's fabulous. So I have one that I don't believe you read, which is To Love and to Loathe by Martha Walters.
I did not read that one.
Yes. Well, the first book is To Have and to Hoax. And the problem with that book is it's just a misunderstandings trope. And it's really infuriating.
Yeah, I really tried to read that one. And I was I got a few pages into it. And I was like, I know that this is not going to be enjoyable for me.
No, and it was really frustrating. I managed to get through it because I really enjoyed the writing. And I just was like, it's a misunderstandings trope, just get through it. And I really thoroughly enjoyed her writing. Now, To Love and to Loathe was way better. Because it wasn't a misunderstandings trope, and like you got her good writing and you had good characters, because this book is one of the friends. So in the first book, you have this little TTT between her really good friend, Diana, who's a widow, and one of their other good friends, Jeremy, who is a childhood good friend, and they kind of all grew up together. And essentially, she kind of had a crush on Jeremy growing up, but then she, you know, her family was poor and they needed money. And she was like, I refuse to be poor. And he has an estate that's downtrodden and he's too young anyway. So she married Rich, an older gentleman who she did actually really like. Anyway, so then after the first book, they kind of end up, she says that he's going to get married in a year because he's like, I'm never getting married. She's like, oh, I bet you'll be married in a year. And then it kind of sets off this thing where she's trying to like throw girls at him and he's trying to prove to her that he won't get married. And he's always really admired her. And anyway, so there's no misunderstandings. It's more, it's not a friend and enemies to lovers kind of trope, but it has that similar vibe to it. Because there is this dislike and they're like, you guys have always liked each other. You just only show it in like argumentative fashion. And so it's just really good because it has that same good writing that I really actually enjoyed in To Have and to Hoax, but without the misunderstandings trope. So recommend.
Good to know. I remember that I started To Have and to Hoax and I was like, unfortunately, again, not going to enjoy this, but I absolutely was like, well, the writing is really good. So I'm really glad to hear that it's just a different trope and something I can try.
And it's really funny though, because there's a great, sorry, I'm just going to say one of my favorite moments in the book was there was this great line where the friend from the first book was trying to tell her that she was going about things all wrong. And in her head, she's just like, well, this is the same woman who faked having consumption to get her husband's attention. So I really don't think that her plans have any sort of weight.
So funny. So, Kelsey, I am out of books because two of the books that I read this year were not historical romances. Oh, can you believe it? One was a parenting book. Great book. When You Need It One Day, I will highly recommend it to you. And then the other was Rhythm of War, the fourth book in the Stormlight Archive. So that was actually the book that really kickstarted me getting back into reading. I really love fantasy.
That's a long one.
I don't read a lot of this one, let's see how many pages this one was.
It was a tome. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. A tome. Come on, give me. Well, okay. I guess I'm going to grab the book because now I have to know.
Hi, Thea. No one can hear me say hi, Thea. So he's going to find this in the recording and it's going to be funny.
All right. I'm back with the book. So this book had 1,219 pages in it. So
I haven't read a book that big in a long time.
I feel like that one counts for a couple.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Especially when our normal books are like 350 pages.
Yes.
That's four of our books.
Yes. It's a lot of pages. Oh, here's the pages on Goodreads. It took me forever to find it. But hey, you know, it is what it is. If you are a fantasy reader, I highly recommend Brandon Sanderson. I extremely do not recommend you start with his Stormlight Archive series. I recommend you start with Mistborn. That's a trilogy.
Great. She told me to read it. It's very good. I devoured it. And I recommended it to others.
Yay! So that is what I have been reading. But do you have a few more you want to share before we wrap up?
I have one more.
Ooh.
And you mentioned it when I showed you my thing, and it is The Secret by Julie Garwood.
Ooh.
Now, I've mentioned my book club that I have with some friends of mine. And so our first – everyone that this year had to pick – I'm the last one of the five to pick the book for the year. And everyone needed to pick a book that took place outside Victorian Regency London. We decided to challenge ourselves because we're just historical romance. We read more. So we decided to challenge ourselves to read outside the Regency. Now, I found this book. I don't know how I found it. Oh, I know how I found it. Amazon recommended it to me. And I read the synopsis. I thought it looked really good. And I was like, I don't know what year this takes place in. Hopefully it's the right year because I want to do it. And it turned out it took place in the medieval times. It took place in like 1200. So Perfect. Not Regency London. Still Scotland, but great. And I loved it. I read it. It's a longer one. I read it. I started it last night. I read until early in the morning, and it wasn't – a lot of these Highland ones are very, like, you know, battle-prone and, like, backstabby, and this really didn't have any of that, but it was so really sweet, and I felt very female empowered because a lot of it centered around – like the main heroine, her biggest thing is she just felt very alone. She had been kind of shuffled back, like as growing up, she was shuffled from one household to the other every 6 months. And one was with her aunt and uncle where she lived, and the other one was with her uncle and her sometimes mother. Her uncle was slightly abusive and her mother basically like couldn't stand to look at her, as she likes to say. And so she was kind of shuffled from a very loving, caring family to this absolute hell for 6 months. And then she ends up getting permission to go to this very small clan in the Highlands who are very against outsiders. And she's an English woman. And she just happens to be very good friends with one of the laird's sister-in-law. And the sister-in-law is about to have a baby. And she's like, we made a promise to each other that like, when I had a baby, she would be there for my time in need, simply because the woman, her mother and her grandmother had both died in childbirth. And since it was her first child, she was really frightened.
Ooh.
And so she wanted her best friend there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the laird goes to fetch his sister-in-law's best friend, and there's instant, you know, sparks. Mm. And there's a secret, you know, that she tries to keep. And but it's really great, though, because even though she's had all the suffering and she has this like fear of being the outsider, she's just a truly caring individual. And she really changes this small Highland isolated clan and kind of makes them more open, but also just appreciate their women more. And like, she's like, all you men have breaks and you guys have all this camaraderie, and the women just work in their own homes and they never even socialize with each other. And all these women who married these men from outside the clan constantly feel alone. And she's the only one to have seen it. And it's just this beautiful story that comes together. And then, of course, there's like the secret reveal and everything's happy. But it's like very much it's a slower paced novel, but it really beautiful writing, characters you really enjoy. And I actually just couldn't put it down. And it was so far the consensus with the other book clubs, they're enjoying it. So that's great. Because we've had a few duds this year. So everyone was like, I'm really enjoying the book club book. So I'm like, yay! But yes, so that is my Julie Garwood book that I have been reading, or that I read.
That is awesome. Well, we're going to have to do some Julie Garwood on the podcast at some point. We've had her recommended many times. And yeah, as we're finding out today, there's so many books out there. It's just hard to get them all on the podcast. Well, that seems like a perfect segue to talk about next time. And yet I'm going to pass up that segue because I have one more thing, which is...
Okay.
So technically, I have read one other book. I am midway through it, and I am really happy with it. I'm super pumped because we've already decided that we are going to do that book on the podcast as our last book for June. So I am not going to spoil it for our listeners. If you want to know what we're reading in the rest of June, you're going to have to join our email list. But Kelsey, I can say that you're going to enjoy this book when you read it too.
Excellent.
It's brilliantly written. I'm so excited to have found a new author, hint, hint, that we can enjoy. I like to read ahead of times, especially if it's somebody new, just to make sure that it's something that we really want to feature on the podcast.
Yes. And to be fair, sometimes we do that and that's how we pick the books we want to read on the podcast, because I'm like, it's always like, what do you want to read? And I'm like, well, I just started this book. It's great. You should read it. And then we should talk about it on the podcast. And that's sometimes how we pick them, guys.
Yes. We like to pick books that we want to talk about, good or bad. If it's going to inspire a good conversation, that's what we're looking for. So, Kelsey, I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
What is your favorite book that you've read so far in 2021?
Ooh, that's a good one. Let me look back over all of them. Well, clearly it's not that one over there that I don't remember the plot of. I read Wild Child by Eloisa James too.
Oh, I didn't read that one yet. It's like next on my list.
Well, there you go. Cool. I'm going to say, I don't know. I mean, like, the Good Girl series has just been really enjoyable. The Susan Enochs were fabulous.
Agree.
Yeah. I even read the Making Mary novella Kerrigan Byrne has, which is paranormal / historical, and that was quite fun. It's a novella. It was actually quite fun, and I love the twist in the ending because it was like a ghost. And I was like, how is she going to end up with a ghost? Like, how is that going to work? And then Kerrigan Byrne somehow ties it all together, and voila. And I was like, wow, I didn't see that one coming. Good job. You know what I'm going to say? I have thoroughly enjoyed almost all the books that I have read. I would highly recommend all the Kerrigan Byrnes. I would absolutely recommend The Worth Saga by Courtney Milan. I will absolutely recommend The Rules of Scandal with Sarah McLean. I'm going to actually say the Julie Garwood may have been my favorite so far.
Yay, how fun.
And I'm not just saying that because I read it the most recently. I actually think it might be my favorite only for the reason of it was a new author for me, and it didn't feel like a very typical romance novel in the sense that like a lot of the romance novels that we've been reading, there's a lot of big plot points and this and that. And this was this slow, gentle, falling in love, bit of conflict, but a completely reasonable conflict. No one had to die. No one was like, you know, had a traumatic, you know, well, slightly traumatic, but not like a horrifically traumatic, and also just heroes and heroines who were genuinely nice to each other from start to finish.
Ooh.
And like, you know, kind of enjoyed liking each other because he'd be like, woman, know your place. And she'd be like, psh, you can't tell me what to do. And he'd be like, there is an order of protocol. I am the Laird. And then she turns to the brother and she's like, hey, tell your brother he's being a jerk because, you know, I'm following the protocol. And, you know, it was just, I really enjoyed it. I think it's absolutely actually one of my favorites. I would easily read all of these other again and highly recommend them, but I would say this Julie Garwood really, and there was some good steaminess to it too, actually. Like, so, like usually if the plot's so like so-so, I was almost worried it was going to be a fade to black kind of situation. It was not.
Good to know.
There was lots of detail and it was quite good. Anyway, and how about you, Zoe? What was your absolute favorite so far?
So it's interesting because I also think that my favorite is my favorite because it's a little bit different than a lot of the historical romances that we've been reading, you know, or the kind of cookie cutter or the typical. I mean, we're saying typical because this is typically what we read, not that it is the typical historical romance. It's the typical Regency, cishet, Duke falls in love, da 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 da. I'm going to echo everything you said. Read the Kerrigan Byrne books. Read her Good Girls series. Ugh, so good. So rewarding. I want to read more Suzanne Enoch. Hit Me With Your Best Scott was fabulous. Again, I gave that 5 stars. But for me, it's The Devil Comes Courting all the way.
Oh, it was so good. I mean, like, it was actually a toss-up between The Secret and The Devil Comes Courting because I really thoroughly enjoyed that one. And again, very different, but mm-hmm. very rewarding in its own very unique way.
So for me, this book also is a little bit of a slow burn romance. Mm-hmm. There's actually a lot of time that passes. I think the heroine is falling in love with herself, her culture, her identity. She's also going through a lot of heartbreak, and the world is very diverse and interesting and colorful in lots of different ways. It's just, mm-hmm. to me, it's what I want to see in the future of historical romance. I want to see more stories like this. And there's not a single member of the aristocracy in this book. And that's usually my candy, my favorite. Like, I love mm-hmm. a good hidden duke. Like, no good duke goes unpunished. A duke in a, you know, a gaming hell hidden as a fighter, you know, it's just like, yeah. Just like, I love that too. But what Courtney Milan does with Devil Comes Courting is hopefully more of what we're going to see in the future because it's so unexpected and exciting. And I think it's really interesting we chose a new book and an old book, right? Mm-hmm. But both of them are kind of away from what our niche is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So thanks, podcast, for getting us out of our comfort zones. I mean, we didn't choose either of those for the podcast, but I think doing more books and thinking about them critically makes us mm-hmm. pick up different things than just the auto buy on Kindle.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, I will say after, you know, from doing this podcast, like, yes, there's authors I really enjoy and I want to keep reading them, but I feel like I'm more inclined, like, you know, I try to pick new authors, you know, if I've caught up on all the series I want, like, you know, I don't just want to go back into the archive of authors I read and read more of their books as much as I love doing that. You know, sometimes you're just in a Tessa Dare mood. Sometimes I want like a good Julia Quinn. But at the same time, too, it's nice to be able to go like, okay, like I like these things. And like this author is, you know, is being recommended. Let's give it a whirl.
And we've had so much fun with all the whirls we've been on. Mm-hmm. So I think that about wraps up our discussion on what we've been reading so far. We'd love to hear from you guys. If you liked this episode, maybe we'll do more of them. So you can find us on social media, on Instagram and Twitter as T as in Tom, N as in Nancy Strumpets, Facebook/TN Strumpets, and YouTube by searching our name. You can also shoot us an email at any time. We're romancepod@gmail.com. And also, if you are on Goodreads, I would love to be your friend. I'm having so much fun on Goodreads. We can track our books together and talk about books. I'm like making bookshelves and I plan on making some lists because I've been finding, you know, more diverse historicals. And there are already some lists like that, but like, I just want to make my own. So I'm having fun doing it. So if you would like to follow me on Goodreads, that link will be in our show notes. But I am at Travels with Zoe, Zoe, on Goodreads.
And if you're listening to us on YouTube, now is a great time to click that thumbs up and hit subscribe before you forget. Liking, commenting on our videos, and subscribing to our channel is a really wonderful way to let us know that you like what we're doing.
And if you'd like to know ahead of time what we're reading each month, like the book I teased earlier, you can subscribe to our email notifications via our website. If you subscribe, you'll be the first to know what we're reading each month. Plus, you'll get all sorts of extras, including exclusive content from each of the authors who join us on the podcast. Our website is romancepod.com, and there you can find episodes, more information about us, and other resources. So take a look.
We also wanted to mention that we include links to all the books we talk about each episode in the show notes of our podcast and on our blog. If you purchase a book through those links, we get a small portion of that sale. And so that's another way you can help support us. So all the books you've heard about today have links as well. Go, Zoe, go!
I know.
But if you're buying your book through an indie bookstore instead, 100% go for it. Then we, in turn, are proud to be supporting that sale.
And finally, rate, review, and tell a friend about Tea and Strumpets. Reviews on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, or anywhere else you can review us really help other listeners find the podcast, and word of mouth is also one of the best ways that podcasts get found. So if you like what you're hearing, we'd love it if you help spread the word.
So Zoe, what are we reading next time, doing next time? What's happening?
Well, next time we're going to actually be replaying one of our, in my opinion, best and one of my favorite episodes, which is our interview with Kat Sebastian. And we've chosen to replay this episode because it's June, which is Pride Month, and we didn't get our act together to do as fabulous a Pride Month on Tea and Strumpets as we did last year.
You know what? That's okay, guys. Zoe had a baby. I'm really freaking busy at work right now. So we're trying. We don't have time.
But that episode was so great. If you haven't listened to it, you're going to have a chance to listen to it next week. And she actually talks about a book in that episode, which is coming out this month. So it's the book she was talking about. It's a brand new. It's called The Queer Principles of Kit Webb. I can't wait to read it. I'm really excited about that book, which I'm going to gush in my little intro to that episode next week so you guys will hear it. But that's what we're going to be doing next week. And then we'll be back with a fresh episode the week after. And I'll tell you what that is in the episode that I replay next week. So you'll get to hear it.
Awesome. Well, that sounds fabulous, Zoe. I really did enjoy that conversation we had with Kat. It's really fun.
It was. So thank you all for listening. Join us next time for a revisit with our amazing interview with Kat Sebastian.
And may all your ever afters end happily.
Tea and Strumpets is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.